This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:37 and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So we've spent the better part of our show today actually talking about MCO 3.0. We're still getting messages. Keep those thoughts coming. How are you feeling about the announcement? Will anything change for you day to day perhaps? You know, will you still be going to work? You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, however, we are going to be moving on to our story, our first story actually for today, which is optimism. Unexpected optimism from an unexpected quarter, shall we say, because Bank Negara is predicting that Malaysia will achieve GDP growth, that's gross domestic product growth, of between 6 and 7.5% in 2021.
So that should come, I think, as a little bit of a surprise for many people, right? And this forecast is actually against a 5.6% GDP contraction in 2020. So according to Bank Negara Governor Nur Shamsiah Mohamed Yunus, they say that this growth will be strengthened by the recovery in domestic demand, and that March 2021 showed that the index of retail trade actually registered a positive growth of 9.6%. And this is coming on the wake of it being in the negative zone for the previous 5 months.
So the governor also said that recovery in employment and external demand would aid in economic growth this year, and that the growth prediction had already taken into consideration the uncertainties of the pandemic. She also said that this current MCO is not going to significantly impact the growth trajectory to the extent of the minus 1.71% seen in the second quarter of 2020. And this is because as we've addressed, I think this is a little bit of a controversial part of the SOPs in some way. Most economic sectors are still allowed to operate.
So this is quite interesting because I do believe some of this was announced before the before a lot of these things became clear, before people had decided quite what was, before Hyde fully came into impact and all of these things. So I'm curious as to whether that will impact some of these predictions. And I think it's also coming, at least for many people, as a surprise, given that last year didn't really fare so well for us economically.
So to understand these numbers and also to understand, I think, some potential areas of growth or optimism within our economy, we will be speaking with Jayant Menon, Visiting Senior Fellow at the ICC Yusof Ishak Institute. We also want to know your thoughts, though, on the GDP or the prediction of our GDP growing between 6 and 7.5% in 2021. Are you feeling similarly optimistic about the year? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Jayant, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Lynn. Nice to be with you again.
So perhaps you can start us off with your thoughts on the predictions released by Bank Negara. Are you optimistic we'll see that level of growth this year?
Yeah, so this is quite an optimistic forecast. But I think the general trend in forecast lately has been on the upside. So the ADB that just came out with their annual forecast just a few weeks ago had increased their range for almost all countries, with a more buoyant global recovery anticipated. And of course, in this region, China is doing extremely well. And so this scene is dragging all other countries up with it. But this virus is full of surprises. We don't know how things will evolve. If there's a significant deterioration in community transmission, it's already bad in Malaysia and many other neighboring countries. If it gets a lot worse, then of course there'll be a longer and tighter lockdown, and then the forecast won't be met. But so far, it seems like everyone is going to be doing a bit better than we thought before. Malaysia is in a difficult position, so we'll have to wait and see how the community transmission evolves.
Now, there are analysts who have called this forecast unrealistically high. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the point to remember is that the bigger the fall, the greater the bounce, right? And that's what I think we are seeing. You know, Malaysia's GDP contracted by more than about 5.6% last year. So that's a big drop. So, you know, you don't have to do much to bounce back significantly. But even this bounce, even if you realize the Bank Negara's forecast, it won't fully recover the lost GDP. So we're going to have permanent effects in terms of lost GDP. You don't get back to the trend before the pandemic. So there'll be long-term effects. There'll be this so-called scarring taking place. And also other things will produce longer-term negative effects, the education deterioration, the rise in inequality, and the new poor that will emerge, mainly through intergenerational effects. So even this so-called positive or unrealistic high will leave us worse off in the longer term.
So Bank Negara also credited some of this optimism to businesses being allowed to operate during the second and now third MCO. What is the impact of allowing businesses to operate? Do you think that it will be sufficient to keep our economy afloat and growing?
Yeah, so in terms of the economic impacts, it's really all about the lockdown, not even about the direct health consequences. So, you know, some countries say that they are having a lockdown, but in fact they don't. Others say they're not having a lockdown, but they actually are. So I leave it to your listeners to decide which category Malaysia falls into. I suspect it's more of, you know, saying lockdown, but, you know, still a lot of ease of movement that facilitates business activity. And I think that will help the economy, but not necessarily the containment of the pandemic or its early resolution. So I think that's what we might end up seeing, that, you know, there's some lockdown fatigue setting in and businesses are still going ahead and getting used to dealing with lockdown. So you don't see that much of an economic impact.
Now, what might be the impact of overestimating this GDP growth? How would that impact our policies?
Well, if you sort of overestimate the economic growth, then I guess the concern might be that you could ease up on the stimulus measures a bit prematurely, right? So, I mean, Malaysia spent big last year in trying to offset the economic impacts, about 20% of its GDP, which is, you know, unprecedented. And if you think that will feed through strongly into this year and with the global recovery, and you overestimate that, then you might ease off too quickly or too much on stimulus measures, on moratoriums and so on. And that could have a negative effect on your actual growth outcome. It can also affect this health economy trade-off, right? So you start sort of moving too much in the direction of dealing with health risks and your economy suffers a lot more because you think that it's already on a sort of irreversible track of recovery. That's the risk of overestimating the recovery, I guess.
So with that then, I mean, as we keep an eye out for the news, for announcements, what factors are going to be the key determinants of our economic growth for the rest of 2021?
Again, to repeat, you know, this is evolving almost as we speak. There's a lot of uncertainty here. I guess if things, there are, you know, significant downside risks still in the way the pandemic will evolve. And so if that leads to a prolonged lockdown or a long-lasting MCO, then clearly that will dominate the economic outcomes. But there are some positive impacts as well. I mean, relating to what's happening around us in the global economy, as I mentioned, global growth is surprising on the upside. And Malaysia is a very open trading economy. And it's also trading in the right products at the moment, a lot of medical supplies and equipment and electronics, all of which has booming demand because of the pandemic, actually. So these are positive things that might actually produce work in favor of a relatively better outcome in growth.
Now, on that topic of uncertainty, how does that uncertainty impact our economic growth?
Well, uncertainty is the greatest enemy of the private sector and of investors. And uncertainty can manifest in many ways. Uncertainty about the pandemic means there's uncertainty in terms of response from governments as well, right? So we don't know how actively or how quickly the government will tighten restrictions and for how long. So all of these things leads to an environment where people are not going to be willing to make long-term investment decisions and also even the medium-term decisions about employment and so on. So all these things feed into a slowing of growth outcomes, and they can feed on each other. A lower sort of level of confidence about investment means the next cycle will be even worse off, and it starts ratcheting downwards, just as it can ratchet upwards with good news. At the moment, it's all on the downside. So it is a big factor in terms of growth outcomes.
So one, I think, strong weightage when it comes to the upside, a lot of hope is being placed on the vaccine rollout and the possibilities that it offers. What are some potential growth areas for the economy as hopefully larger sections of the public get vaccinated and hopefully quickly?
Okay, so I think you're right. I mean, everyone is banking on this rapid rollout of the vaccination program, and we hope that this will happen, of course, and firstly in Malaysia, but also around us as well. The cliche that, everyone is in it together and we are not really risk-free until everyone is in a good position is true. But the main impacts of the vaccination rollout will be long-term. And what I mean by that is that if we can get to some level of herd immunity, which requires at least 70% or so of your population to be vaccinated, then you can open your borders with minimal risk to other vaccinated people. Then you have the risk almost down to close to zero. So you protect your domestic population through herd immunity, and the risks of having, non-essential travel coming in with those travelers also being vaccinated will have a big boost to growth. So that's what I think we will, that's where the real benefits of the vaccination rollout will be. But that won't happen anytime soon. Hopefully it can happen by the end of the year or early next year. And when that does happen, there will be a major impact once we get to herd immunity.
So what can be done by the government to encourage and support that growth?
Ah, okay. So that's the difficult question. I mean, the government needs to look at improving domestic protocols in increasing the health condition or reducing health risks so that it can actually start easing border measures to help with the recovery. Not much will happen, I think, at the border while we still struggle in getting a handle on these new variants. This is a serious risk, the new variants that are emerging, and there's a long lag here. Closing your borders now, say, to India, is something we may need to do, but it's all coming too late. Right, because this was happening months ago, and we can only respond with a long lag when it shows up in numbers of infections. And by that time, the horse has bolted, so to speak. So the way to deal with that, though, is to improve domestic protocols in testing, tracing, and tracking. And that's what the government needs to do, and not ease up on the stimulus measures economically, because it looks like lockdowns are not going to go away anytime soon with these new variants. That's what I think the government needs to do, among a host of other, you know, more long-term measures.
Jen, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you, and all the best.
You too. That was Jen Menon, visiting senior fellow at ICS Yusof Ishak Institute, weighing in on the prediction from Bank Negara that Malaysia will achieve GDP growth of between 6 and 7.5% this year. We want to know if you are similarly optimistic. How do you feel about that outlook? And also, if you want to keep those thoughts coming on MCO 3.0, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.